Welcome to Teacher Tales, where we dive into real-life stories and unforgettable moments from classrooms everywhere. I'm Glenn Bryant, and each week I'll bring you heartwarming, hilarious, and sometimes downright unbelievable tales from teachers who've seen it all. Let's jump in. Welcome to
Teacher Tales.
I'm here today with Hannah Draper. Hannah teaches a resource at West Morgan Elementary. Been teaching now for...
This is my seventh year.
7 years. Yep. So there's probably been a few stories that she could tell in 7 years' time. But anyway, Hannah, take a minute. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about kind of how you got into teaching.
Okay.
Why you chose special ed. And anybody that was influential along the way on pushing you or helping you get started in education.
I was that typical college student that didn't know what in the world that I wanted to do with my life. My whole life, I grew up saying, I am never going to be a teacher. Like, you know, it always works out.
I was
going to
be an engineer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of the reasons to not be a teacher, I was saying those growing up. So like, I never imagined being in education.
Yeah.
I went to school pretty much to play softball, got there and was like, I kind of need to figure out a path in life. And I was really into psychology. Like that was like the thing that I really, really enjoyed. It was interesting to me. Could talk for hours about stuff like that. I know it's weird. But ultimately that was where I started. My goal was to be a clinical psychologist. And then when I realized, you know, this is going to take like 8-ish years or longer, however long, I was like, okay, not really sure if I want to be in debt for that long. Not really sure if I want to do school for that long, you know? And so I was like, okay, this is not going to work. So really started praying about, you know, God, please give me some direction. Cause I have no idea what to do. I was very much at a loss of like, I'm just going to grasp at straws here. So, I decided that I thought it would be cool to be a cosmetologist one day, which didn't make any sense because at Shorter, they don't have a cosmetology school and it's just simply not an option, you know, with a 4-year program like that, that was not going to work either. So I went the route of business and I joke with people and say it was like 5 minutes, but like it for real was like, I don't even remember being a business major for more than a couple of weeks for real. I started a class and genuinely, I don't even think I finished it until my freshman year of college. We went to the World Series. My softball team, we went to the World Series in Oklahoma City. And part of that journey is every team that goes to the World Series does some type of service project. And so we were at the local Y. We just went there. I don't really remember doing anything significant other than just kind of hanging out with the kids. And I remember like everybody in my class was talking about like stuff they'd seen at school and all the funny stories and all the cute kids they had met. And I was like low key, kind of like envious of it. I was like, man, like that sounds like so much fun. And here I'm like, no, I'm not supposed to be a teacher. And so we leave the YMCA in Oklahoma City and I sit down on the bus and it was like, God like slapped me in the face. Like, I know he doesn't do that, but ultimately it was just kind of like, okay, Hannah, like, why are you denying this? Like, this is where you want to be. I was the kid that played school when I was younger. So it was like all coming together and I'm like, okay, I don't know why I was being so stubborn. I pick up the phone. I call my mom. I'm like, so I figured out, you know, what I'm supposed to do. And she was like, okay, what's that? And I was like, I want to be a teacher. And my dad was in the background like, duh. Like, and I was like,
well,
okay.
Yeah, we can't make our kids do what we know they need to do.
Yeah. It's like, how long did y'all know?
and it's really, you know, for you, it was almost like a visible calling. But from, mm-hmm. you know, it's for all of us. It's a calling. I mean, it's one of those professions where, now in the state of Alabama, you can make a living. You're not going to get rich.
Right.
But you can make a living on teacher pay.
Right.
It's competitive with other states, but what you can't replace with a salary is that feeling of, hey, I'm really doing something that's making right. the world a better place.
Right.
I'm really impacting the life of a child. And you right. can't, you can't, it's the most important job in the world.
Yeah.
So who were the, when you started that, when you came to that realization, you don't just realize that one day and then the next day you're a teacher.
Yeah.
All of us had to have some help along the way.
Absolutely.
So who were some of those folks that, you know, either fanned the flame that was burning within you or helped you along the way?
Yeah, I would say, I'd definitely say my teammates were a big part of that. When my senior class graduated from Shorter, every single one of us, we were education majors. So that was a big part of it too.
You guys stay in touch now?
We do.
You compare yes. notes?
Oh man. Every time we come together, like if we get to talk, it's all about the crazy stories that's happened at school. And there's another teacher that she started out just in kindergarten and now she's going to get a special ed certification. So I'm super excited about that. But she and I will kind of like bounce ideas back and forth every now and then, but she's in Hawaii. So yeah, I don't see her very much. And then one of my other teammates that I graduated with is in Miami. So, or toward Miami. So yeah. But I would say one of the biggest things for me was like when I was student teaching, I didn't know that special ed was going to be the route. So I'm like doing my student teaching and those were in the days of EdTPA. And of course,
and it was just beginning. It hadn't been around long.
Mm-hmm, know, it, right.
It's only been around about eight or 10 years.
Yes, it was the big bad wolf that we dreaded for so long, like literally submitted EdTPA on my birthday. I'm not sure if that's like a blessing or a curse, but.
But you didn't have to go back and rework any of it.
Thankfully I did not. And if I had, that would have been a really embarrassing question to answer, but no, and it was tough, but thankfully the program.
So I interviewed another person for the podcast and, this individual took the practice 9 times.
I can imagine.
I mean, it's just not anyway.
Yeah. Well, thankfully I did not have to go that route. I took all of my testing in Georgia and thankfully Alabama accepted everything from Georgia. So, it was just a God thing. Like the way everything lined up, it truly was easy for me to just kind of step into this role. And it was like, I didn't work for it. It was everything, you know, him aligning my steps. And one day I get a call that, you know, there's an opening here and I'm getting the opportunity to coach softball and volleyball. And it's like, I get to go back to the school that I love. I get to coach the two sports that I love the most. Like, this is an absolute dream. So yeah, like, but I would just say, you know, going back to the student teaching, the first part of my student teaching was in the third grade, but then I met the cooperating teacher I had in the resource room, and it was Alto Park Elementary. Her name is Jessica. And when I tell you, like, she ran circles around that school building 24/7. She was here and she was there and she was helping with social support and behavior support and reading and math and doing like all the things and also doing inclusion. Yeah. And it was like, this is really cool.
When you see somebody who's doing it the right way,
yeah,
and, you know, it makes all the difference.
Yeah. And so she was the game changer for me for sure, like leading into it. And I was like, resource is where it's at. Like, that's really where my heart is because, man, like it's like the kids that fall through the cracks.
If they're allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, all right. Thanks for sharing that. And thank you for being with us today. We're back, and this is where the part where I just go through the questions and to see what we can learn. So what's the most memorable moment a student made you laugh, and how did that moment impact your teaching?
Honestly, this happened this week, and it changes every day. But I had a student come to me a couple of days ago, and his teacher was following him, and she was like, tell Ms. Draper what you did. And he's like, I used the big boy potty. And I'm like, what did he say? Like, cause I couldn't really understand what he was saying. And she's like, we used the big boy potty. And so like in that moment, I realized, you know, this was a big milestone for him because he was afraid, for different sensory reasons, he was afraid to go into the bathroom. And I just thought, man, like, life is hilarious and like, you can't make this stuff up. But like, to be a part of those types of moments, like, that's what it's all about. Like, no matter what the scale
and is. How old was this child?
He's a second grader.
Second grader.
Mm-hmm.
It does happen. I mean, I remember back when I was a principal at an elementary school, 9-year-old, and we had a big celebration when it finally, you know, he could always go. I'm that guy that, you know, I want to celebrate everything. But hey, when you can go a week where you don't have an accident for a week,
absolutely,
then we'll have a big celebration.
Absolutely.
But you know, when he went a week and then a month and then, you know, he would probably be 17, 18 years old now. So probably a big celebration would be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So if you could give your younger teacher self one piece of advice, what would it be? And why did you choose that one piece of advice?
Mm. I would tell younger me that it's not about me. Like, Hannah, it's not about you. It's not about making sure you do all things right as a teacher. It's not about making sure you get everything in the day and making sure that you're acknowledged or recognized for doing a good job. Like, it's about the kids. It's about them and meeting them where they are so that wherever they are, they can make progress, whatever that may look like, functionally, academically, socially.
That is great advice. As a matter of fact, the best teachers in the world that I've ever worked with, I think every one of them had that mindset. It was not about them. They would do whatever it took.
Yeah.
And they wanted things to be right, but they would not obsess over the details that they couldn't change.
Right.
They would obsess over the kids and the things that they could help their kids change. What's the craziest thing that you've ever done to keep your students engaged, and did it work?
You know, my mind immediately went to like hearing stories about Miss Hurt when I was that was my fourth grade teacher, and I know you know, but she's now an interventionist here, and there were always stories that she would stand up on tables and, you know, do all the things to be crazy. And I never really got to experience that, sadly. And so I don't know that I've done anything that crazy, but I would say like a lot of my kids don't understand like vocabulary words and stuff. So like if the word is sprint, like catch me sprinting across the classroom. If it's like, I think one day I was like trying to explain like this, a cat springing off a bench. And like, I jumped up out of my chair and all the kids at the table were like, what are you doing? And so, like, probably that. I would say some crazy stuff or singing to them. They tend to like to be sung to. Like, if we're singing sight words or something to remember them, I'll tell them to spell and sing or whatever. So that's probably the craziest thing I've done.
How do you personally stay motivated on those days when nothing seems to be going right?
Well, first of all, I would pray. I mean, there's... my strength does not come from me. And that's, you know, I have to remember the grace that Jesus gives me. And so I try to remember that no matter what, like if I'm mad, you know, if I'm frustrated or whatever, that, you know, grace never run out for me. And so that's where I should, you know, seek to show my kids that grace. And so with that said, like, there's a reason things are going bad. Like, there's a reason they're struggling today, or there's a reason that we don't know this. It's not just because they're wanting to be defiant or they're, I mean, it may come out that way, but ultimately there's a need behind it. And taking the time to communicate that with them and try to seek out those answers, you're not going to get anywhere anyway if you don't find the need first. Like, you can push them to their limit, but if they're in a state of like distress in any way, you know, and they're acting out like, yeah, I may can force my way and like get them to finish an assignment, but at what cost, you know? And so if I can meet them where they are first, you know, seek to solve the problem that's bothering them, like, I've created an ally for them. Like, I'm not someone who's just trying to get them to complete tasks.
That's good advice. Can you share a time when a student's success story reminded you of why you became a teacher? Now, I know if you stay in it long enough, you'll wind up teaching kids of people. Yeah. But you've been in the elementary world that and only been in it 7 years. That time probably hadn't come for you yet.
Yeah.
But can you share a time when you've seen a kid achieve something and you go, yeah, I really am. I got to be a part of that.
Yeah. Part of my job here is to do the car line. And part of that time frame that I'm out there, the buses come in from the middle school. And like, that's all my kids are middle school age that I started teaching. Or maybe they could be early high school years at this point. I would have to do the math, but I saw a student that I have not seen in years. And I kept thinking, man, he's not going to talk to me. Like, he got off the bus, you know, and I'm like, hey, little Johnny, you know, like, you too cool to talk to me now? And he's like, Miss Draper, I tested out. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, like, I'm like, test it out. He's like, I tested out of sped. And I was like,
which is the goal for everybody.
It is absolutely the goal. And, you know, like, my philosophy, like, I go back to, you know, all the papers we had to write about our teaching philosophy in school. And my heart behind all those papers was that, like, no kid is ever without potential. And so, like, to see, you know, yes, these kids that have these struggles and these barriers, like, I just wanted to help them see that potential is still there and we're not just stagnant. And so to see someone test out and be like excited about it, and like, it, to see the look on his face, it's like, okay, like, that is my goal. Like, to see my kids get what they need to be able to function without me.
Yeah. Cause if the truth be told, you know, you hear this in the gifted world, we're all gifted at something,
right?
But the truth be told, we're all special ed in something too.
Right.
And so the difference between a kid that's receiving services and one who's not receiving services is, hey, theirs happens to be in something that we have resources to meet,
right?
Reading and math primarily.
Right.
My handicap would be, I'm not very good in technology most of the time. Reading's a chore for me from time to time too.
Yeah.
What's the funniest misunderstanding or miscommunication you ever had with a student?
Well, I really don't know that I can pinpoint one, but, you know, a lot of my kids have been diagnosed with autism. So, you know, in that disability, things are taken very literal. So, like, it, in honestly, like,
yeah,
spatial concepts and things like that.
Sarcasm doesn't work.
Sarcasm doesn't work. You know, like, hey, can you get that right there, or hey, sit right there, you know, like, pointing, and they're like spinning around in circles, and I'm like, let me just go walk over to you. And so anyway, like, I would say, like, if someone could be a fly on the wall in my room, in my classroom sometimes, like, to see me say things and like get the reaction of, like, you know, like, trying to get direct kids in what activity and where I want them to go and where to find their folder or whatever. Like, it's just funny. So I think that's probably the it's a daily thing.
So in your role, I imagine this next question is something you do just as a matter of routine, but how do you inspire students who are struggling both academically and personally?
You know, it's hard. Because as a teacher, like, we play so many different roles. Like, some days I'm mom, some days I'm nurse, some days I'm the teacher, some days I'm a friend, you know. And I think the biggest thing, you know, with that, like, we were talking earlier about relationships, you know, like, having that relationship. And if I can give any advice to behavior, like, something that I had to learn the hard way is, like, kids function when they have an ally. And so, like, them knowing that I'm on their side and, you know, rooting for them, but ultimately, like, getting to the root of the problem first, and then moving forward from that, like, because you have to know your kids to know how to inspire them and know how to keep them motivated and know what their challenges are at home. And so I think it's kind of hard, like, to answer that question, like, specifically about you know, in general.
Yeah, because it's not one thing. It's what things.
Right.
And you, just like you're meeting your students, hey, every student's got a different IEP. Yeah. They also have a different set of needs for,
absolutely,
you know, motivation, inspiration, those kind of things.
Yeah, and just like celebrating, like even if it feels silly sometimes, you know, like celebrating every little thing, you know, that, man, like to make a big deal about a kid can go so far with them and just push them to move forward.
So last question is, if teaching were a superhero job, what would your superpower be and how would you use it in the classroom?
I think the first one that comes to mind is cloning. sometimes I feel like there's not enough of me to go around. Like if I could have more of me here, you know, it can be tough sometimes, like being the only resource teacher here at times, but like, if my kids could just have like the support they need all the time, you know, and someone being in inclusion or someone being able to walk them, you know, through the school building or whatever, like, I think that's probably would be the most beneficial thing. Either that or being able to fly and get places fast. I think that would be cool too. So,
well, thank you very much for being with us and we'll be right back with story time.
Thank you.
All right, so we're back and it's story time. So this is where she gets to tell any story, funny thing that happened in the classroom, funny thing that she did as a student, you know, whatever she wants to tell. Pranks, you know, we've heard it all during story time. So what kind of story are you going to tell for us today?
Yeah, I'm going to avoid the stories from me being a student, mostly because I work with a lot of the people that taught me. And we're just going to stay away from those.
And they know who did it.
Maybe one day that stuff can come out. But and then I was thinking, you know, like, what stories can I tell about my kids? Because sometimes it's not the most positive, me being like, essentially a behavior crisis manager most of the time. So I've heard some stuff, definitely. But I think the funniest thing, one of the funniest things, because I could probably come up with a lot of, and it's something new every day, but this was in the COVID years when we had, you know, gone home, no one was here, but it was right there at the beginning of IEP season. And if you're a special ed teacher, you know how that goes. So like all we can think about is, well, for one, I'm actually kind of thankful for some extra time to get all this paperwork done that I don't get if I'm at school. But at the same time, like, man, this is really rough.
It's
like
kind of hard to gather data on kids that you never see.
For sure. Yeah.
And you can't go to the teacher next door or the teacher that has the regular ed teacher and get the data because they hadn't seen them either.
That's right. And the kids are the fun part. Like, yes, like when you go into special education, like I'm not gonna play games. Like the paperwork gets rough. Like it can be very, very heavy, but the kids are what, like, it makes it all worth it. And so, and like knowing you're, which this is not what you asked for at this time, but like knowing that you're writing these plans that are individualized for these kids, like, and knowing that it's gonna help them be successful so that someone else can help them have that light bulb moment is so worth it. But at this particular time, like, you know, we were trying to do like virtual learning. We were trying to, you know, get these kids on these Zoom meetings and try to teach phonics and try to teach with math manipulatives, like, hey, go grab some corn on the cob out of the freezer and we'll count those, you know, anything you can find, like gather them. And so, you know, that was what the world was like at the time. And we also had to hold IEP meetings that way. And so in those times, you know, me, like, it was kind of like, I don't know if you've ever talked to somebody that works from home. It's kind of like business from here down. Then you got your like pajama pants and your slippers. You know, that was me for sure. Like most of the time, like if I was on camera, like I looked pretty professional up here, but I was probably, you know, wearing my tennis shoes or wearing my slippers or something like that. And it was a good meeting. You know, thankfully we had every team member, you know, had myself, had the gen ed teacher, had Mr. Stevens, who makes everything interesting always. and had the parent. And so I'm like midway through the IEP, you know, and just rambling. And I'm like, you know, I'm pretty sure that these parents probably get sick of hearing me talk because IEPs are long. But ultimately, like, I'm trying to make sure they understand, you know, if it were my kid.
So completely aside from the story at hand, we'll come back to the story. But during an IEP meeting, do you read or do you paraphrase?
No, I try to paraphrase. There are some things that, like, I try to type it in a way that is meaningful to a parent because we as educators tend to have this lingo that is like a different language for other people. Like, I'll go home and tell stories and I'm like, I realize you have no idea
what I just said. I've just used three acronyms that you do not have any
absolutely
idea.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
So, want to know what the PIST is.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I'm like, FBA, BIP, and SLD, and like, all these are normal language for me. And I'm like, does that make sense? And they're kind of like, no. Nope. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to
been building a rocket over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now back to your story.
Yeah, I try to be pretty explicit about the way I explain things. So at this point, I'm like, this parent's tuned me out. You know, I've heard, you know, kids crying in the background. I've heard the dog barking and stuff. And like, parents didn't quickly learn about, you know, turn your camera off, turn your mute on, you know, whatever, because you get a lot of feedback.
There wasn't a lot of instructions though for any of us going into that. So everything that we, you know, if we got anything done, it was miraculous.
So we're listening and I can see Mr. Stevens' face and I can see, I want to say it was Jamie Terry, but I can't remember what teacher it was. And you just hear this sound and you're like, is that what I think it is? You know, and like, I can see, you know, Mr. Stevens and, you know, he's looking and I'm like, surely this parent is not using the bathroom while we're on this meeting right now. And sure enough, and you hear the flush in like 30 seconds later and I'm like, you cannot make this stuff up. And like, you just got to keep rolling. Like, what are you going to say? Yeah. Like, by the way, we can hear you.
Didn't see nothing. Nope, we didn't see it. God. We didn't see nothing. We didn't hear nothing.
Thank you for having your camera off. You know, like, goodness gracious. Good stuff.
Oh, wow.
Makes you very aware of Zoom meetings. So, yeah, that's my take on funniest story for sure.
Well, all right. Anything else you want to share with us?
I don't think so. Not today.
So, again, thank you for being with us. If you know of a teacher like Ms. Draper that needs that would bring some value to the community, please do not hesitate to reach out. You can nominate them by sending me a comment in the comments, emailing me, or getting on the website, teachertalespodcast.com, and using the nomination form there. Until next time.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Teacher Tales. If you are inspired, motivated, or just had a good laugh, be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. And if you know a good teacher who has a story to tell, I'd love to hear from them. Send me an email at motivatedinspiration@gmail.com with your suggestion. Remember, whether you're in the classroom, at home, or out in the world, keep spreading the joy of learning. Until next time, keep those stories alive.